Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
So, I just want to recap, like the past 2 weeks we have been talking about rediscovering church, and this is where I brought about the idea that we are the church, right? We are here to be the church. Being the church should be our focus. And we are not just here to do some church thing, but it's really coming here to understand what does it mean to be the church. Now, you have been following me for the past 2 weeks, you will understand that when I talk about being the church, I say that when we be the church, when we fully realize what that means, and we live in tandem to that, that there will be a lot of benefits, a blessing, right, to this church community here, and beyond that, to actually the whole world, right? I talk about how when we be the church, it is only when we are being the church that we can be the church to the unchurched, right? That means people who do not know God, people who you will never imagine will ever, ever step into the doors of this church, right? I mentioned that there can be different groups, for example, the Malays, right? One group in particular that no way will they come to this church building, very unlikely, right? But if you are willing, like some of our friends have done, they have gone to their schools, they have gone to the neighborhoods, they have just been a friend, right, just doing what Jesus will do. Through that, people are saved. Right, through that, we see more and more people coming to know Jesus. People who we don't usually think will come to know Jesus, come to know Jesus. That is the picture that we can take of what does it mean to be the church. So I hope that that encourages you. Right, and when your leaders come up with an idea of a time of the tribes, it's just a way, right, for us to practice, for us to learn something, not just to hear, but to do something, and by doing something, actually learn, right? Because most of us, if you hear a message, you'll forget it. But if you do something, you actually learn, right? So that's what your leaders have been trying to do. But today, I just want to put a focus away from ourselves, because I know that I've been talking a lot about us being the church, and it's important for us to know that. But I just want to take the attention sort of away from ourselves, right? To put it back more to God, that being a church is not just for our own good, being a church is not just for other people's good, but being a church is something that we do is because God chose us to be the church. Interesting, how Ben talked about it, even though we didn't coordinate this, but God is the one who chose us to be the church. So today, this is the main point that I want to bring across to you, that God chooses us to be the church. Look at the neighbor beside you. God chooses that friend to be the church, right? Look at yourself, if you can, right? In the mirror or your phone, right? God chooses you to be the church. The reason why we should seek to be the church is because God chooses us. And that makes a whole lot of difference, because the pressure is no longer on us. It's not to force you to do something that you find it very difficult to do, but it's to know that actually God chose you. And that is an awesome privilege. And because God chose you, whatever obstacles there are, He will be the one that helps you to overcome. Right? We think about it a little bit more, right? God chose us to be the church. Now, God can really choose many different ways to reveal Himself to people. But He chose us, the church, to reveal Himself. Now, what are the ways that God can choose, you know, to reveal Himself? God can do that by way of, I believe, angels. Right? God can send angels. Or God can even just put, for example, a poster, right? A very, very big poster that the whole world can see that says that Jesus is Lord. I mean, can you imagine if He just, you know, maybe just let something just hit the whole earth, bring about a giant tsunami, and after that, everyone is shaken. Then God just says, you know what? I did all this. I'm God. Or God can just, you know, Jesus, He became a human being, all right? He died on the cross for our sins, and then He was raised again. But God can choose that He Himself be the one to continue to live, right? Jesus can clone Himself, right? Go to every part of the world and share the gospel. There are so many ways that God can choose to reveal Himself to us. So many ways that perhaps can be more effective. But why did God choose us to be the church to those who do not know Him? Why did God choose us? Have you ever thought about it before? Right? Perhaps some of your friends look at you and think like, yeah, not really a Christian, a bit hypocritical, you want to share Jesus, fat hope, right? But why did Jesus still choose us? I think He chose us because this is a way that He demonstrates that He loved us. And my friends, it's so important for us to know that in all that we do, as part of our discipleship, as part of our church life, it is really because God has chosen us. And that's the thing that I want you to catch tonight. I just want to refer you to a passage with the little time that I have. A passage that I really believe shows us how much God chose us to reveal Himself. Right? So if you have a Bible, can you just turn with me to Matthew? And we're going to look at chapter 14, reading from verse 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Now, as you're turning there, this is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Very familiar passage to all of you. I believe you have heard it a lot in Sunday school, right? And you know, right, because it's a familiar passage, you know that this is a miracle that Jesus did. So very familiar passage, but as we read it, I just want you to think about this question. Why did Jesus choose to perform this miracle the way that He chose to perform? Right, because there are many other ways that Jesus could choose to meet the needs, right? You know that the people, right, there were 5,000 people and they were probably hungry. And Jesus could have met their need, Jesus could have performed a miracle in another way. Why did He choose the way that this story tells us, right? I mean, think about it. Jesus, if He is the one, right, if God is the one who created human beings, He created the stomach, why can't Jesus just make them not hungry? Have you ever thought about it? Right, all of you sitting here, you're very hungry, you're waiting for me to end so you can eat dinner. But think about it, how amazing if I just pray over you and you will not be hungry and you can just, you know, listen to me for 4 hours and go home. How many of you want that? I probably know, right? Because you want to taste food, you want to have fellowship with your friends. But Jesus could do that. Or for example, Jesus could have just made the food appear. Alright, sashimi for example, could just make the food appear. Why does He have to multiply from the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Or perhaps Jesus could have just teleported the 5,000 people who were with Him in the mountain secluded area back to their homes. Then they have their own food to eat. So many different ways for Jesus to meet the needs of the people. So many different ways for Jesus to perform miracles to meet their need. Why did Jesus choose this particular need of multiplying the food today? Right? I want to suggest to you why, and let's look at it, alright, in the passage. So you're still with me? Are you still with me? You all must be hungry, right? Shall I pray for you? Okay, are you still with me? Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Right, verse 14. And it says, when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude and He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So you see, here Jesus already start to perform miracles, right? He start to heal the sick among the multitude. So Jesus is more than able, right, to perform all kinds of miracles. But as we look further, right, it says, verse 15, when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. So there was a need, right? The potential of 5,000 people being hungry. And the disciples, probably like typical Singaporeans, know that food is very important. So straight away they will know that there is a need, alright? But verse 16, Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Something very interesting about, right, this sentence, the two parts that Jesus brought up here. Right, the disciples, you see, the disciples came to Jesus and they said that there is a problem. Jesus, there is a problem. So many people no food to eat. Can you please send them away? But Jesus is saying that there is a problem, yeah, but you don't need to send them away. But you can give them something to eat. You can be the solution. Now this also teach us, by the way, something about prayer. Very often we come to God, there is a need. Actually, God already knows your need before you ask Him. Right? There's a need, there's a problem. And we go to God, sometimes we pray things like, you know, God, can you please help me take that problem away? Have you ever prayed something like that before? God, can you please take a problem away? And this is pretty much what the disciples prayed. Right? They go to Jesus, they ask, God, can you please take this problem away? Right? Send these people away so that we will not have this problem. That was what they were thinking about. But no, that was not what Jesus taught. Jesus said, no need to send them away. Don't need to take the problem away. You can do something about it. You can be the solution. So when we look at today's world, the world needs to know Jesus. The world needs to know Jesus. If not, many are perishing and going to hell. We all know that. Sometimes we don't dare to think about it. But the truth is that even as I'm talking, there are people perishing and going to hell. And there's a problem that will not go away. But Jesus is telling us, you can be the solution. Instead of just praying, dear Lord, would you just bless that the whole world will know you. Amen. I have great faith to believe that. I don't need to do anything. Jesus, I believe, is reminding us, the world needs to know Christ. We can pray and we must pray. But we are also the solution. Amen? Right? So that's why we need to be the church. Because Jesus has commanded the church to bring the good news to people. And that's why Jesus left. He ascended. Jesus did not stay here forever. Because there comes a time where the Holy Spirit will give power to the sons and daughters of God to be the church and to bring His word to people. All because God chose us. He could have done it in many different ways, but God chose us. And same thing back to this passage, this was how Jesus met the need. He could have done many different ways, but God chose the disciples to be the solution. And this was what happened, right? In verse 17, let's continue. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Actually, 5 loaves and 2 fishes can be quite a lot of food. All right, it's definitely a lot of food for me. But in that context, the disciples felt, wow, 5,000 people. We only have this. In a church of this size, we only have this number of leaders. In a world that we need to know Jesus, we only have this number of missionaries. We only have, in the light of such a big problem, we only have this, we only have that. But friends, God doesn't look at what you only have and think that it's very little. What you have is all that it takes to meet the need to change the world. Right, but it requires us to do something. Well, let's move on. In verse 18 it says, bring them here to me. So you might have a little bit and it's still a blessing, right? Don't think that what you have is very little. It is a blessing. But just having a blessing will make you a blessing to others. You need to bring what you have, the blessings you have in life, to Jesus. You may have a lot of money, but if you choose to spend it the way that you want to, it will not make any impact for the world. It's only when you bring it to Jesus, right? Not just in the form of offerings, but you bring it to the Lordship of Jesus. If Jesus tells you to give, if Jesus tells you to save, if Jesus tells you to invest, whatever He tells you, you bring it to Jesus and allow Him to direct. That is how your blessing can be a blessing to others. And that's what we are trying to do, you know, when we recognize that we are a church. It is really a blessing, my friends, to be part of a church. It is really a blessing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But being blessed is not going to make any impact on the world. It's only when you come as a disciple of Jesus, as a Christian, as part of a church, come to Jesus and say that, God, I bring to you all this. Use it. That you're going to make an impact in the world. So we move on, and it says in verse 19, okay, this part, I think there's really something very interesting, but I need you all to have a little bit imagination, right? Have a little bit of imagination. You see, it says, then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. Now when he did that, I think that at the point, or this is my imagination, I think that at the point of him doing that, right, there was nothing so-called miraculous, right? Just like how we say grace, Jesus, just thank you Lord for the food, then he start to give, right? And then after that, the disciples start to give. Probably, this is my guess, right? You need to imagine here. Probably the disciples didn't even realize that the food was multiplied. The way that it is really, it appears to me, right? In fact, I remember on one of my mission trips in Mongolia, right, I have teammates who actually see food multiplying as well. And when they wrote their testimonies, when they share with us, it also similar fashion, right? It's not like, wow, suddenly you feel like, wow, the thing is like just multiplying like that. But it's like, as you start to cook, you know, as you start to prepare, then suddenly, more and more grows. So I think probably the miracle happens so gradually that the disciples didn't even realize it until the thing was completed. Right? But it says here that Jesus gave thanks to God, and then he started to give, and then the disciples started to give. It's only in the process of giving. Right? It's not like the food all appear at one go first. Then the disciples is like, wow, miracle done. Now we are confident enough to give. But it's like bit by bit as Jesus gave, and bit by bit as the disciples took and give, then it starts to grow. Then it starts to multiply. And I think that's a profound a spiritual lesson that we can learn here as well. And some of us, maybe you are really looking at yourself. You have no talents, nothing to give to the world. But as you start to give a little bit, you see that Jesus starts to multiply. If you don't give, you won't see any multiplication. But as you start to give, you begin to see Jesus multiplying your gifts, your talent, or maybe even your time. Right? Of course, time, 24/7 standard. But have you ever felt that before? Like sometimes you are so hard-pressed for time, no time for the things that you want to do for the Lord. But as you commit to doing anyway, you begin to see, it seems like God starts to multiply. While you start to reprioritize and you realize that there is indeed time. So it's only as you start to give that you see. And it is so profound for us to understand that if you want to be the church, God has chosen us. He will enable you. That's for sure. But you need to start to step out. If you never step out in faith, you will never know what God can do in your life. You will never know the kind of miracles that God can do until you allow Him to stretch you, until you give of yourself to the Lord. And what was the result? The end result is in verse 20, and they all ate and were so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 basketfuls of the fragments that remained. That is a lot, much more than what they have started out with, right? 12 disciples, 12 basketful, right? They only have 5 loaves, 2 fishes, but now every disciple has 1 basket, right? 1 NTUC bag of bread and fish, whatever you have you, right? That is the extent, alright? Collectively, they only have so little, but in the end, everyone went back home, they got each a basket. That's how much God can multiply. Probably the disciples went back home, right? They can go to their families and feed them. I do not know. Right? But that's the extent. When you choose to give of yourself to the Lord, that's how much He can multiply. And friends, 300 of us here, individually, we might feel that we have very little. But as we give to the Lord, He will start to multiply. And not just individually, but as we put together whatever we have to the Lord, He will multiply. So if you ask me, can we, as a youth ministry of 300 people, for example, be able to make a great impact in the nation, in Singapore? Can we look back one day and say that Singapore has been blessed by Church of Our Savior youths? I believe it is possible. It is possible. We are only 300 strong, but we can make an impact in this nation. But to do that, we need to be the church. Because God has chosen us to be the church. There's no other way that He has chosen to impact this nation except for people like you, people who believe in Him. And I think more and more in this aging society, God is going to use the young people. So you need to rise up because God has chosen you. And when He chooses you, He will empower you. Amen? So why don't we just close this time? I invite all of us to close our eyes. Tonight, whatever we're going to do for the time of the tribes, many of you, actually not many of you, but all of you are going to be encouraged to serve in different roles. But do not just look at that role itself. Because what we are trying to do is to start you off on a journey that will bring us to impact this nation. And maybe you come to God with that role of befriending, you think it's something very small. I only have this ability to be very friendly and just talk to any stranger. So I'm going to offer myself as a befriender, but nothing much about that. But if only you give that only thing that you have to the Lord, God can multiply that. And through young people like you who will give of yourself to the Lord, God can make an impact in this nation. So wherever you are, you know, perhaps the Lord is stirring in you to encourage you to be proactive in the time of the tribes later when your leaders encourage you to sign up for a role. But look beyond that, in your schools, in your family, in different environments that you are in. What is God challenging you today? He has chosen you. But in that thing that He is challenging you, you need to take the first step out, knowing that He has chosen you. And that as He's chosen you, He will guide you, empower you, lead you, and to make an impact through you. So my friends, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Thank you, Lord. And as the Lord challenges you, wherever you are, just commit to the Lord. Say, Lord, whatever you are saying to me today, to give to you, whatever little it is, I will give. Because I know that it's not too little for you to make an impact in the lives of people. Respond to Him right now before I pray for you in your own way. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for choosing me. And thank you that you use whatever I have that I give to you today to bring glory to your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me just wrap up this message by praying for you. It's not the usual way that we end a sermon, but I just pray that you will come with the same intensity to one to commit yourself even in prayer to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for all my friends here. And together with me, they stand as the church, the true church, the body of Christ. Thank you for choosing us. Even though we are at times not the best reflection of who you are, but you chose each one of us to make an impact in this world, to demonstrate to the world who you are. So thank you, Lord, for the youngest to the oldest, for the most insignificant to the most significant, for the most inadequate to the most adequate among us here. All of us stand equal before you as your children, whom you have called to bear your name. So tonight, whatever little that we have that you're impressing upon our hearts right now to offer to you, be it our gifts, our services, our time, to this world that needs to know Jesus, would you just come and show us? And as you showed us, give us the faith to see you multiplying all that we are giving to you today. Give us the vision to look beyond this church building. Give us the vision to look beyond this year, this day, to seeing how we as one church can make an impact in this nation, especially a nation that needs young people to step up, to serve, to love, to care for people, and to transform this nation for you, Jesus. All God's people say, Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention.